Well, good morning once again, beloved ones. Turn to someone and tell them you made it. You made it. You made it. Yes. You made it. I just have this inner feeling that your effort is going to yield you something good, something wonderful. I just feel it. I feel it in my spirit. You know, the good we are seeking is seeking us. So, your bulletin says January 24th. Because I decided, why waste good paper? Did you enjoy your ordained time of rest? I did too. Yes, it was good. It was very sweet. You know, sometimes we just need to be still. And so I'm glad that it wasn't through sickness or through that we all had a communal time to keep our divine appointment to just be still, to be present. So that was so sweet and so wonderful. But here we are today, and we're going to continue with our series on being a light, either a light bearer and a light worker, but being a light. And the full title is Being a Light, Empowered from Within and on High, right? And part three is Becoming a Seer. So being a light, empowered from within and on high, and then whatever the lesson is for that week will be the what follows that. And today it is Becoming a Seer. Now, we've been working with uncovering the qualities and the abilities needed for us to become light bearers and light workers, right? As the world truly is in need of those souls who are willing and committed to standing up, to stand up and to stand forth, to be willing to do the work of transforming and helping humanity move into its next level of evolution and growth. That is what the universe is calling for, those souls, those people who are willing to do that. Now, believe me, that's no small task, right? Being willing to stand up and to say, I'm willing to help transform the world. I'm willing to help humanity take its next level of growth. Now, this is no small task, because if you think that transforming the world is hard, try transforming yourself. Fear not, because trying to transform yourself or your own world is a challenge as well. And it is not a feat to be sneezed at. And yet, it is something that is required, that must be done as we are transforming the world. See, as we transform the world, we must also start with self, right? So don't get so carried away to say, I'm going to be transforming the world. Recognize that, yes, you will. But you also must start by what? Transforming self. By being willing to do the inner work of self-transformation. Because truly, we are the ones we've been waiting for. Right? We are the ones. We're it. And if that is the case, then we have to be equipped to handle the job. So turn to somebody and tell them, I'm equipped to handle the job. I'm equipped to handle the job. Tell them, I am empowered from within and from on high. I have everything that is needed for my success. All right, do you believe that? That is the truth. That is the truth. So this series is about being equipped, right? Now, quickly in review, we talked about that the first thing that we need to be about as light bearers is acknowledging and increasing the light within our being, right? That we've established that we are all first and foremost light beings, that at the beginning of creation, a divine light, the essence of God's light, was put into our being, right? So we know that the first order of business is about increasing, first of all, acknowledging that we're light, and then increasing our wattage, our ability to handle the light that is within us and to handle the light that is coming upon the planet into us so that we may do the work of transformation, right? So we recognize that. And to bring this light that carries life, it carries growth and transformation, because we've already established that there could be no life, there could be no growth, there could be no transformation, no change without light, right? So that's the first order of business that we are about. And then we said in our second part of this series that we also needed to understand the power of the word, to create. We were talking about creation of life. So the power of the word to create our experiences, and the power of the word to bring things into manifestation. And for both of these qualities of being, we looked at and used as our reference Genesis and the book of John. That these qualities came from Genesis in the Old Testament and John in the New Testament. And I started with Genesis because the word itself refers to origin. It refers to the beginning of life, right? In the beginning, God. So Genesis is the beginning of growth. And so I wanted to continue to see what other qualities we might need as we are working on being equipped as a light bearer. So I'm going to read. I was guided to read the whole first chapter of Genesis. And so it's a little long, but this is what Spirit told me to do, so I'm doing it. So you want to get comfortable and relax and open up your heart and be receptive. I've learned to be obedient, you know. So I'm reading from the Message, okay? So it has a little fresh language to it. But this is what it says in the Message. First, this. God created the heavens and earth. And we'll talk one day about what the heavens are. All you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. God spoke, light, and light appeared. God saw that the light was good and separated light from dark. He named the light day. He named the dark night. It was evening. It was morning, day one. God spoke, sky, in the middle of the waters, separate water from water. God made sky. He separated the water under the sky from the water above the sky. And there it was. He named sky the heavens. It was evening. It was morning, day two. God spoke, separate water beneath heaven, gather into one place, land appear. And there it was. God named the land earth. And he pulled water, ocean, and saw that it was good. God spoke, earth, green up. Grow all varieties of seed-bearing plants, every sort of fruit-bearing tree. And there it was. God produced green seed-bearing plants, all varieties, and fruit-bearing trees of all sorts. God saw that it was good. It was evening. It was morning, day three. God spoke, lights, come out, shine in heaven's sky. Separate day from night. Mark seasons and days and years. Lights in heaven's sky to give light to earth. And there it was. God made two big lights, the larger to take charge of day, the smaller to be in charge of night. And he made the stars. God placed them in the heavenly sky to light up earth and oversee day and night, to separate light and dark. God saw that it was good. It was evening, it was morning, day four. God spoke, swarm ocean with fish and all sea life. Birds fly through the sky over earth. God created the huge whales and all the swarm of life in the waters and every kind and species of flying birds. God saw that it was good. God blessed them, prosper, reproduce, fill ocean. Birds reproduce on earth. It was evening, it was morning, day five. God spoke, earth, generate life, every sort and kind, cattle and reptiles and wild animals, all kinds. And there it was, wild animals of every kind, cattle of all kinds, every sort of reptile and bug. God saw that it was good. God spoke, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature, so they become responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge, be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Then God said, I have given you every sort of seed-bearing plant on earth and every kind of fruit-bearing tree, given them to you for food. To all animals and all birds, everything that moves and breathes, I give whatever grows out of the ground for food. And there it was. God looked over everything he had made. It was so good, so very good. It was evening, it was morning, day six. Heaven and earth were finished down to the last detail. By the seventh day, God had finished his work. On the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day. He made it holy because on that day, he rested from his work, all the creating God had done. This is the story of how it all started, of heaven and earth when they were created. I love that scripture reading from the Message. It carries such a powerful message for us. And what I gleaned from that was when I looked at the beginning of Genesis and how creation began, it was through the spoken word, and God said, right? And there was, and there it was. But the next thing after it was there, and he said it and it was there, was that what? After speaking the word, God saw that it was good. So part of this creative process after speaking the word is having some type of ability to see that it is good. To see that it is good. There must be something to this seeing that is good or for creation. Something about seeing that has to do with creation and the goodness of what is created, and it must have something to do with our abilities as a light bearer or a light worker, right? So we must be able to not only see, but to see that it is what? Good. to see that it is good. Now, we know that that can be quite challenging at times, can it not? Because everything we see may not look good to us, if we're honest, right? It doesn't always look good. But that is because, as the scripture reminds us, is because we are seeing by appearances, right? We are seeing by appearances and not by righteous judgment. We were told later on in the New Testament that we had to learn how to see not by appearances, so not what's showing up, but by righteous judgment. In other words, we see by right seeing. That we should judge by right seeing. And what I love about this is one of my first Unity minister and teacher was Eric Butterworth. And I loved Eric Butterworth. He was the right teacher and minister for me. I loved his mind. But he used to always say, stop trying to set things right and start seeing them rightly. Right? We know that it's true. Stop trying to set things right, but see them rightly. When God spoke, it appeared and he saw it rightly. Right? So we don't have to worry about trying to set it right, because if you're coming from the right word and you're coming from the right seeing, it will unfold and be good. Trying to set things right is costly sometimes. It's very costly, and it requires a lot of our attention and our time, and there seems to be sometimes a push and a pull. You ever try to get into this push? Not try, but when you try to set it right, you find yourself in a push-pull situation, right? There's some kind of struggle. You're trying to move it this way, and somebody else is moving it that way. There's struggle. There's conflict. You're trying to get it all right, make it all fit, make it all work. But seeing through a higher consciousness brings more grace and ease. Seeing through a higher consciousness, the way then becomes clearer. And you'll know what to do and when to do it. There's a Unity affirmation that says, I know what to do and when to do it. And you could say how to do it, whatever. Everything is revealed when you are able to see it rightly. God gives you the vision. God shows you the way. So there's something about being able to see rightly, to see the good that is a part of being a light bearer. So that means we have to become seers. We have to become seers, or as I like to say it, seers. See, seers is nothing more than a seer. We have to become seers. Now, unfortunately, the word seer, S-E-E-R, sometimes carries a negative connotation with it. Because nobody usually goes, I want to be a seer. People kind of look at you like, So this is what the dictionary says and defines a seer. It says, a person who is supposed to be able, through supernatural insight, to see what the future holds. Now, I thought that was pretty good, but until it said supposed to, right? So a seer is a person who's supposed to be able to. Now, it would have been powerful if it just said, a seer is a person who's able to see through supernatural insight, right? And then it says, to see what the future holds. That's not too bad, but it's not quite right. And then it went on to describe these synonyms for seer, S-E-E-R. Soothsayer, oracle, visionary, that's not bad. Fortune teller, crystal gazer, You know, how many people think we at Unity are crystal gazers and fortune tellers, right? Clairvoyant, psychic, or a medium. So again, those might not carry the weight that we are looking for of what it means to be a true spiritual seer. Of what a spiritual seer is all about. Then it gave me it said this is an archaic definition, which I think came closer. The archaic definition says, a seer is a person who sees something specified. A person who sees something specified. You see, as light bearers and light workers, we have to learn to see something specified. Right? to see what we desire, to be clear, and to be able to hold the vision, hold the seeing of what it is that we're desiring, and then to name it good. And God saw that it was good. So a seer then is holding the vision, being clear, and then naming it good even when the appearance looks bad. As a light bearer, you're going to have to do that. Remember, we're not trying to set it right. We are trying to do what? See it rightly. We're trying to see it rightly. Now, this whole thing about holding it even when it appears to look bad, I'm not talking about just simply calling a bad thing good. Because sometimes we in New Thought or Unity get misunderstood when we come with our philosophy or our teaching or our theology, and people are trying to say, well, you're trying, that's not a good thing. How could, you know, killing of 3,000 people be good? We're not talking about calling the thing necessarily good, but actually being able to see the good in the thing. You understand the difference? And as a metaphysician and a light bearer, we have to understand that that's where we're coming from. Seeing the good in the midst of the bad is a powerful thing. Seeing the good that is always present in every situation. Not that every situation is good, but there is good in every situation. And understanding that and seeing that is powerful, and that is the work of a light bearer. You have to be able to do that. Now, some people might call this foolish. They may call us being a little Pollyannish. You know, always so, oh, you always so positive. Like, that's a bad thing, but okay. You ever had that piece? Oh, you're just so positive. Okay, you want me to be just so negative? But some people think it's foolish and being Pollyannish, but I'm talking about using your God-given ability to image a thing. Because one of the things that we looked at here is that to hold this vision, before God spoke, there has to be an inner vision that precipitated the word, right? There's something that God said, oh, let's say, I create the heavens and earth, and then spoke it into being. So we're talking about using your God-given ability to image. Imagination is one of your 12 powers, which we'll talk about maybe later on. But to image a thing, to see it in your mind and hold it until it begins to gather spiritual energy and substance. Until it begins to gather the stuff of creation around it and then moves from the invisible into visibility. That's the process. That's the creative process, okay? And as a light bearer, you need to understand the creative process, how things come into being. It's not magic. It is spiritual law. It comes under law. So to see in your mind and to hold what you are seeing until it begins. You hold the image until the image begins to gather energy and substance. The more you can hold it, the longer you hold it, the more spiritual energy gathers around that image until at some point it moves from invisibility into visibility. Now that's the mystery. I don't know how it works. I know that that's the process and it does work. Okay? So as a light bearer, this is what we're trying to do. And as a spiritual seer, we have to be able to hold and work with this process. So as a spiritual seer, a seer and a seer, you must have vision. Jonathan Swift said, vision is the art of seeing things invisible. Now, I don't want you to go around and saying, you know, I see dead people, or I see, you know. Keep that part to yourself. But it's the ability to see things that are invisible, right? Isn't that what faith is all about? Seeing it until finally it becomes the evidence of that which is unseen. So being a seer is about having the ability, the art of seeing the invisible. And Aristotle put it this way. He said, the soul never thinks without an image. If you think about it, the soul doesn't think without an image. We can have a feeling, we can have an awareness, but when we begin to think, it thinks in images. Your mind is going to think in an image. It's so fast, you don't even recognize that you've conjured up an image. All right? It's unconscious, but that's the way that it works. And it is written this way in the Upanishads. It says, the light of the spirit is invisible, concealed in all beings. It is seen by the seers of the subtle when their vision is clean, keen, and clear. I'll read that again. The light of the spirit is invisible, concealed in all beings. It is seen by the seers of the subtle when their vision is keen and clear. So the question you ask, is your vision keen and clear, or is it clouded? Because there are so many things that can cloud our vision, right? We look at the world sometimes through this, through a glass, through a mirror, dimly, thinking we see the whole thing, but we're seeing in part, the Bible says. So we ask, well, is my vision keen and clear, or is it clouded? Now, many things. Let's say the past. The past is something that can cloud our vision because we can't necessarily envision a future because we're stuck in the past, right? We can only see what has happened, not what can happen. A seer is able to see possibilities, right? To be able to hold them and be free of conditioning, the conditioning of the past and the conditioning of our minds. Until you can break free from the conditioning of the past, because as we talked about in a couple of other talks about how the brain works, that our past behavior has dug a groove in our brain, so we can only then go back to that. We keep going back. We keep seeing that same thing, right? That's the past. But a seer is able to see possibilities, can break free of the conditioning of the mind and the conditioning of your past. So we've got to be able to do that. What clouds our vision or can cloud our vision is that we can be clouded by what we call vain imaginings. Vain imaginings, which means that it's not seeing what is real, but what is feared. Vain imaginings, it's a seeing, but it's not seeing what is real. We are seeing what is feared, right? And if you can only see what you fear, you will not have the faith or faith enough to see what is possible. You can't hold those both. You can't have enough faith to see what it is that you desire. And faith is going to require a pre-seeing. It requires a perceiving ability. And so if you are imaging fear, you will be limited in what you can see. Right? If you're imaging fear. So I love it. Mark Twain said this. He said, you cannot depend upon your eyes when your imagination is out of focus. Right? And so when we're busy fearing whatever, your imagination is out of focus. And if you can recognize that you are not necessarily seeing what is real, and what is real, truth, God, spirit, right? Those things that are unchanging, the principles of God. So when you recognize that your imagination is out of focus, you got to use it now more clearly. You have to use it to begin to see the truth. And not the worldly limited perception, not what the news is telling you, not what the community is telling you, not all the voices that are screaming, it's time, it's the earth coming, oh, it's doom and gloom, and this is it, the end is near, not all that. You've got to be able to perceive a big picture, see the possibilities, and then go for that, you see. Robert Collier said this in speaking of vision. He said, it reaches beyond the thing that is into the conception of what can be. Imagination gives you the picture. Vision gives you the impulse to make the picture yours. Don't you love that? I love that. I'm going to say that again. He says that vision, it reaches beyond the thing that is, whatever has appeared, into the conception of what can be. Imagination gives you the picture. Vision gives you the impulse to make the picture your own. So you need to have imagination so that you can see the picture, but you need some impulse. You need that energy to make this picture your own, right? So as light bearers and light workers, we need vision, and not a small vision, but we need a vision that is large enough that it has to be fueled by the divine. Something big enough that calls for the creative energy of God to express itself to you and through you. Sometimes our vision is too small. You need something so big that you know when you accomplish it, it was only God, right? So don't be afraid of asking God for the big picture, for the big things, for the big vision, because God is able. In fact, the bigger it is, the more you can have faith that God is able to do it. You're out of the way, and the energy of God moves forward. Robert Schuller said, "The world of tomorrow belongs to the person who has the vision today." What's your vision? What vision are you holding for yourself and for the world? Because we know that as light beings and light bearers and light workers, we have to develop the ability to look beyond appearances and not get caught up in what we're seeing with these outer eyes, with how things look. Because the truth of the matter is, how things look is just like how you are seeing it. How it looks is how you're seeing it. We said, no, this is how it is. It's how you are seeing it. We don't want to take ownership of that thought. You know, we want to think, no, this is the way it is. It is how you are seeing it. So that's our clue. Any undertaking that we're going to engage in, we should understand this before we begin to engage that activity, that it is going to come with its share of obstacles, difficulties, challenges, things that are unforeseen, right? When you undertake something, if you undertake it and you think you're not going to have any challenges, that you're not going to have anything that pops in the way, you're going to get off course whenever something comes up. So you begin your vision, you hold the vision, and you recognize that things are going to come that I had not put into this vision. There'll be some challenges and some difficulties. If you can recognize that and see that, your task is to remain focused on the vision, holding it in consciousness while you are observing and working with all the obstacles and the challenges and the difficulties. But you are holding on to the vision and allowing God to move through that vision, trusting the process, trusting that it still will be good, regardless of what's coming up, regardless of how many challenges, it will be good, because God saw that it was what? Good, and it was. So your task is to keep your eyes on God, on the inner process, so that eyes on the creative process, eyes on the things of spirit, your eyes on the truth. That is our task. So here's the practice that I want you to begin, because this is about equipping ourselves as light bearers. So the practice as a light bearer or a light worker is for you to bring light. We already discussed, for you to bring light into whatever situation you find yourself in. That's going to be your task. So whether you're working, whether you're cooking dinner, whether you are driving, whether you're at the supermarket, whether you're having a meeting with your boss, it doesn't matter, working with your children, swimming, whatever you're doing, your task is to bring light into that situation. And the question you must ask is, what good do I see here? What good do I see here? It's a powerful question. That's your assignment for this upcoming week, because I want you to practice. I want, for every situation that you find yourself in, I want you to look for the good that is present. Okay? So every 5 minutes, the question that you're asked, what good do I see here? What good do I see here? The more you are able to see the good, the more God is able to use you and to flow His goodness and His mercy and His rightness, His justice, His kindness, His wisdom, His love, His peace, His joy, His being in and through you, your life, your affairs, and whatever vision you are holding in consciousness. Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
All right, so we're going to be a seer and a seer of good. A seer of God. Blessings and namaste. Blessings. Blessings and namaste. Blessings.